welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'll be talking with Scott and Carmen Henny about their Princess Half Marathon road trip, Run Disney Vacation. Welcome to the show, guys. I think this is the first time we've had a husband and wife team come and talk about a trip that they took with just the two of them on the show. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say.
It's nice to be on again.
And Carmen, welcome. You're new to the show.
Yes,
so,
I'm here.
we'll apologize in advance for any, burps or other inappropriate male bodily noises.
Nah, I'm used to it. It's okay.
Well, that's what I figured. You live with Scott. All right, so let's kind of get down to the beginnings here. You guys went down together to Walt Disney World to... I said run while we were getting ready, and Scott corrected me and said compete, to participate in Princess Half Marathon. How and when did you guys come up with that idea?
It was my idea, crazy idea, I guess. It was probably a year ago the weekend of Princess Half that... a group of girls that I met through the Disboards, and we all kind of got together and decided that we were going to do our first half together. And it originally was just supposed to be a girls' weekend, and then Scott kind of conned his way into coming with. and then I signed up for it the opening day that we could sign up, and then Scott signed up like 6 months later, he finally was like, well, if I'm going to go, I might as well run. So anyway, I think that's how it got started originally. So,
okay. So Scott, what is it that made you think, a bunch of women are going to go run the Princess Half. I got to be in on this.
Hey, a bunch of women on a trip to Disney. What's better? No, we started talking. It was going to be a girls only trip. Well, then the girls that Carmen was going to go down with, started kind of backing out one by one, and before we knew it, she would end up going by herself, and she didn't really want to go by herself, so I said, well, I'll go down with you, and we...
So now it's a tale of self-sacrifice.
Well, yeah, we...
I'd like to think so.
as it got closer, closer and closer, we were about 6 months, eight months out probably, and I finally looked at the numbers and said, well, what the heck? We're spending this much money to go to Disney, just the two of us. What's an extra $160 for me to enter and run with you rather than just being waiting at the finish line for you? I can be support through the whole race. So that's how I ended up getting in on going too. So,
all right. So you guys have committed about 6 months out that you're both going to run on this thing. And then not only are you going to go run a half marathon together, but you're going to drive to Walt Disney World together from Iowa. And that's not normally the way you get to Walt Disney World from there, is it?
No. And that was Scott's brilliant idea. I actually was dead set against it. And, well, we're just used to flying, and I am a licensed massage therapist in my full-time job, and so I was really worried about how sore I was going to be on the way home, and I was more – that's what I was afraid of, but it actually turned out to be okay. So I think, surprisingly, I think we would actually do it again.
Wow. All right. So how long a drive was it?
We made it. On the way down there, we drove straight through and we made it in about 23 hours after stops. And we alternated driving pretty frequently. We took off about 4 in the morning on the 19th of February.
Okay.
And pulled in. We, well, and this is getting into a little bit deeper, but we pulled in about 2:30 in the morning. And that was a lot. We left a lot earlier than we were expecting to.
Okay.
So getting there earlier, we didn't have a room for the night of the 19th. Our check-in date was the 20th.
Yeah, that's a problematic thing when you've got a room that's, you know, it's one thing to get there at 9 a.m. and maybe they've got a room ready, but yeah, it's another when you get there at 2:30.
Yeah, so that's what we ran into. So we ended up going to Expedia, I think.
Yeah, when we were in Atlanta, we were on the road. I even tried to call down to Disney and see if they would, you know, sweet talk my way into letting us possibly get into our room, and that wasn't happening. So we, Scott was driving through Atlanta, and I got on Expedia, and we found a heck of a rate on off-site, right next to the on main gate or by the main gate, and found a mobile special, I guess it was, and we got a heck of a deal on a king size bed. So,
cool.
Yeah, go me.
All right, so you get in about 2:30 in the morning. I assume you just crash hard for a little bit. When did you finally go ahead and you know, head over to Walt Disney World?
I think we were both up about 7 o'clock that next morning, and by the time we got up and got our stuff kind of packed in and found our way out and into the main gates, trying to use two different GPS sources, I think we made it to – we were staying at Coronado Springs. So we pulled into Coronado Springs, I think, in that 8 o'clock range, 7:45, 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. And got checked in, and oddly enough, our room was ready right now. So we just took our stuff straight to our room and got ready for the day.
Cool.
Nice. You have to understand that when we go down there, we don't sleep. So it's like we got up, we got going, and we met business. Dang it, we're on vacation. So
okay. Well, go ahead and, you know, obviously you didn't spend a whole lot of time there because you were just dropping your stuff and running again. But what were your initial impressions of Coronado Springs? Had you ever stayed there before?
No, we hadn't been there before. We're up for always trying different resorts. So this one was definitely new. Like I said, some of the girls I was going with, they were staying there also. So I just booked it initially just so I could be near them, and I didn't really care where we were staying. But
sure.
I was pleasantly surprised with it. I didn't think it was as big as I thought it was going to be. I guess it was spread out. But I really enjoyed it. There wasn't that many kids. There were some conventions going on, but it wasn't anything too crazy. So, yeah, I really liked it.
It sounds like it ended up being a good base for, you know, running, too, because it maybe was a little quieter because it had more of an adult convention or crowd.
Yeah, and it, I mean, we didn't have hardly any. We were right next to a bus stop, I guess I should say that, and we had great transportation for the race, like, all the festivities for that. And that was one of the things I was a little concerned about, just, you know, being able to catch a decent bus and stuff like that. But we didn't have a problem getting around at all once we were there.
Okay. So this was on what day of the week?
That would have been Friday when we checked in.
Okay. So you checked in Friday and you were going to be running.
That was Thursday when we checked in.
Okay. So that's Thursday. What day were you going to be running?
Sunday.
Okay, running on Sunday. So you've got a few days here. Did you have anything, you know, in particular in mind for that time period?
Well, we had to hit the expo for the race to begin with, to pick up our bibs and do our race shopping and that kind of thing. We did not have park tickets for Thursday, so we were planning on hitting the expo, downtown Disney. We hit the expo right away in the morning as soon as it opened, and it was kind of cool because the Braves were just starting pitcher and catcher training like the week before we got there. So we got to peek under the fence and watch a little bit of that. We got to see a lady get hit in the shin by a baseball that came over the fence. I'm a big Braves fan, so it was kind of cool to see spring training starting. And then we hit downtown Disney, and this was a lot of firsts for us again. So we hit downtown Disney and did our normal stuff down there. And then with our Magic Your Way tickets, we got the free mini golf.
Oh, right.
So we went and played mini golf Thursday afternoon. We didn't have anything better to do without park tickets. So that was fun and took up about an hour or so of our time.
Sure. So were you at Winter Summerland?
No, we went to the Fantasia.
Fantasia Gardens.
Of course, yes.
Okay. Yep. And what did you think of it?
It was interesting. There was a wait on the character side, or the fun side.
Okay.
Like a half hour that we didn't want to wait, and we could get right into the hard side. So we decided to go on the hard side, which was probably a mistake in hindsight. But
be honest, the reason there was no wait on the other side is because it was really hard.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and we were
I've heard that the hard side is really, really difficult.
It is. I think I shot like a 10 over or something, and Carmen shot like a 10 or 12 over somewhere in there. We were both plenty over.
I gave up after probably the third hole. Like, at that point, I was just done. Like, I gave up on trying.
Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind. You know, maybe it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've tried something new there. And, you know, let me ask. I mean, I know that you guys have done adult trips before. Have you done a trip where it was just the two of you at Walt Disney World together before?
Yeah, our very first trip that we took down there, that was considered our honeymoon trip, even though we'd been married a few years. But, yeah, that's kind of what got us going on our spoiled adult-only trips.
Okay, but how long had it been since you'd done that?
That was in 2010.
Okay, so it's been a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
And what kinds of things did you feel like you were able to do because it was just the two of you? You didn't have, you know, other people that you had to answer to.
Well, that kind of gets into later in the night on Thursday. Carmen,
I don't think we need to get late night on Thursday.
Well, no.
Stop it.
Carmen had a group meet up with her girls. They were all going to meet at the bar at the Wave and just hang out in one of those little side rooms in the waiting area. Uh-huh. So we went down there, and, you know, I had a couple of the organic beer flights, and Carmen had some of the grapefruit beer that they had there, and, you know, socialized with the girls there. And then we actually ended up rounding that bar trip out with the monorail bar hop after the fact. Some of the other girls wanted to do that. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that you can't do with kids, which is really nice.
Sure.
On adult trips.
So what was the highlight of the monorail bar hop for you guys?
The Lapu Lapu.
Nothing like drinking out of a pineapple,
is
there?
That's my favorite, yeah. It's totally worth it.
How about you, Scott? What was your favorite part of monorail bar hopping?
I don't know. I would initially say the organic beer flight. However, he poured it for me and then came and said, oh, we don't have, we're out of the light stuff, so I just gave you an orange something or other for that instead. So I don't know. My highlight would probably be monorail bar hopping with like 10 other women.
You're so welcome.
So you look like you were hopping with a harem.
Yes.
Okay. So that was kind of your beginning day. You still had a couple of park days to go before it was time to run. Did you have any particular things in mind to, you know, that you knew you wanted to do kind of coming in with those days before you ran?
Actually, no. This was another new thing for this trip, was just completely relaxing for the weekend, getting ready for the race. You know, when we normally hit the ground down there, as soon as our feet touch the ground, the clock's ticking. So, you know, Friday, for instance, we got up in the morning and we actually had a room only for Thursday, and then our package started on Friday.
Right.
So we had to go down and check out and check in, and then we upgraded our tickets to a third day with Park Hopper. And then I think this is the first time I can say I've ever gone to Magic Kingdom and only ridden two rides, and we were there till like 1 p.m. or noon, somewhere in there.
Wow. So what did you do with your morning other than ride attractions?
Just kind of walked around, meandered.
It's like tradition. I have to go to the opening show at Magic Kingdom. Right. So I kind of threw a fit, and so I got my way. I guess I didn't throw a fit, but but we went and did that, and then we just walked around and just kind of took in all the sights, and I don't know. There's just something about walking around Magic Kingdom and just being able to see everything and not really have an agenda. It was really weird because, I mean, I didn't even know park hours like that. And I'm so anal when it comes to planning.
Right.
And it was just odd to just be there and kind of know we had the option to do whatever we wanted. And it's kind of weird to be there before and, you know, you do your must-dos, and then if you don't do them, no big deal and whatever. But way weird.
It is one of those weird things to go without having a particular plan, and then once you get there, realize that there wasn't anything in particular you wanted to do. It was just kind of, you know, good enough to be there and just be.
Yep.
It's just being there is the thing.
So, yeah, my big goal for that day was just to see the opening ceremony, and then I was like, okay, well, that was over, and it's open. Now what do you want to do?
So you said you rode two attractions. What did you ride?
We rode the teacups and Space Mountain.
We hit Space Mountain right away. Made a beeline for that before the line got long, and actually made it before they opened. And then after that, we walked around to a couple other rides, and everything had such a long line without our fast passes, we just axed everything else. We wanted to do walk-ons, and that was about it.
Okay.
I do remember saying to Scott, kind of chuckling about, you know, at opening, you don't get to see the mad rush of people anymore, you know, just sprinting. There's none of that now with the whole Fast Pass Plus. It's not nearly as crazy, I guess, in the morning. Or maybe it was just because we weren't paying attention to it, I guess, but it didn't seem nearly as bad.
Well, I noticed the same thing, you know, to some extent at the studios, my last trip, and they hadn't even completely gone, you know, switched over yet. But there was much less of a, you know, stampede for the FastPass machines. I think there were fewer people, you know, ready to do that.
Right. Right.
And obviously now even more so.
Right. It's a nice thing.
And so that was your Magic Kingdom day. Now, your next day was the day, you know, prior to racing. So, you know what? I probably jumped ahead too far because, you know, that was the Magic Kingdom, but you said that was where you were until about 1 o'clock. So you must have had some other plans for the afternoon and evening.
Yeah, we met up with the girls that I went with, and we went and drank around the world, which probably isn't a smart thing to do before a big race, but we managed it. It was fine. We spent all afternoon there. We were really surprised. They had the flower and garden stuff up already. Some of it, not all of it.
Right.
But we got to see all that. And I was really excited to see that because I didn't expect that at all. And I hadn't seen it before.
Right.
So we just kind of took in the sights and sounds and went around the World Showcase. And and then we had to get ready for – we had tickets for the Pasta in the Park party that night.
Before we get to Pasta in the Park, I got to ask, like I did with the monorail hop, you know, what was the highlight of your drinking around the world?
There was no tequila flights this trip. Actually, I didn't even have a drink at Mexico this trip.
Oh, you're painting me.
I know. I'm painting myself.
Complications.
Mine would probably be just the old standbys, the German They had the Oktoberfest outside. I had a 1664 in France, a frozen Kieran. You know, the old standbys, nothing spectacular.
All right. And how about you, Carmen? Anything stand out?
Well, I love grapefruit beer. So, of course, I had one there in Germany. And then I had to get the good old Grey Goose slushy.
Right.
So, yep. Those were, I think that's all I really had, actually. But we stopped at the wine cellar? Where was that at?
Yeah, the wine cellar in Italy.
In France.
Oh, Italy.
Or in Italy, yeah. Yep. We had never been in there before.
Yeah, the meat and cheese tray. That was another thing. We'd never been back into that wine cellar before. That meat and cheese tray was awesome. I had
In Tutto Gusto.
Yeah, yeah. And then I can't remember the name of it, the Italian beer. It starts with an M. I can't place it right now, but it's another one of those that's, you know, just a good solid beer. That's probably why they have it at the World Showcase.
Sure. All right. So you did that, and then you did the Pasta in the Park party. What did you think of it? I know a lot of people who either swear by it or say, you know, it's expensive and not really worth it. What did you think of it?
I actually was pleasantly surprised with it. I'd done enough research on it to know that it had mixed reviews. And I actually thought the food was really good. And there was a lot of people. And, I mean, I expected that. But yeah, they had music and they had, you know, pasta, they had chicken and green beans and I can't remember what else, the salad. I thought it was good. And a lot of breadsticks, which I ate two big plates full. So I got my money worth, but I was making sure to do the carb loading. But, they had characters there. We were able to go over. I think we saw the stepsisters and we saw Prince Charming and Cinderella, and then they had the mice there, which that was new to me. I hadn't seen them out and about before, but
yeah, they were really only out for special occasions. So
this dad's plug, the stepsisters and Lady Tremaine at the Pasta in the Park were scoping out my this dad shirt and loved it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think Scott wore his this dad shirt the whole weekend.
Hey, I was the only guy on a princess weekend. I had to represent.
Well, you know, we appreciate having the walking billboards out there. All right, so that was Pasta in the Park. And, you know, I assume you didn't stay out too late because you had a fairly early call time for run day, huh?
No, that was Friday night we did Pasta.
Oh, okay. We're still a day ahead.
Yeah, yep. We watched Illuminations. See, one of the things you can do with the Pasta in the Park, they give you special viewing for Illuminations. And I don't know, we probably have a bunch of people that love Illuminations, but don't hate me. I wasn't a huge fan of it for a long time. It kind of redeemed itself this time. And I don't know if it was because of the ambiance or, you know, who I was all with. I'm not sure, but I really liked Illuminations and maybe it was the viewing area. I don't know. But this time it was really cool. So anyway, yeah. And I didn't know if maybe it was because, you know, finally on one trip when I finally get to see it and I wasn't exhausted, you know, sometimes you just get to the point at night, you're just done. But you have to be there to see it at the same time. So it was not like that this time. So I don't know. Maybe I just had a chance to actually enjoy it.
I think some of it may even be, too, that you could actually pay attention to the show and not worry about a small child.
Right.
Or Scott.
Yeah, that, too.
Or Jason.
So how about you, Scott? What did you think of the Pasta in the Park party?
I really liked it, I think. You know, it costs like 50 or 60 bucks, I think, per person, which is about average for any hard ticket event. And the food was, you know, really good, really good buffet style food. I went back and got two or three platefuls. You know, we had a good time with the characters and the Illuminations. I kind of feel the same way Carmen did. It rejuvenated a little bit. But I was pretty pooped out that night. So I was ready to go back about halfway through it. But I think all in all, Pasta in the Park's a good deal.
All right. All right. So you have one more day to enjoy before, you know, run day. What did you do with that day?
Well, what we did, it wasn't very smart. we did three parks. And we started out with extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom first. Or did we go to Hollywood Studios? I can't remember.
Nope. Animal Kingdom right away.
Oh, we went there to do Everest. We had to go do Everest, and I wanted to get Flame Tree for lunch. So we went and did that. And then, yeah, we didn't stick around Animal Kingdom all that long, did we?
Nope, we did hit Animal Kingdom and then back to Hollywood Studios. And, you know, our fast passes for Saturday were actually at Epcot. So when we got to Hollywood Studios, we were doing shortest lines possible again. And we ended up jumping on Rock and Roller Coaster right away. And then, because I think we actually got to Hollywood Studios before they opened.
Oh, because you were at Animal Kingdom for extra magic hours and you weren't there for so long.
Yeah, there was something goofy in there because we got there right away in the morning, and then we jumped on Rock and Roll, we jumped on Tower of Terror. We tried to get into Toy Story, and the line was already backed up to the Captain Jack attraction, so we skipped out of that and did the Animation Studio again, which this is our second time doing that. And we walked in, and she goes, "Do you want to build a snowman?" So we got to draw. We got to draw Olaf.
Fun.
I'm pretty sure that was my favorite part of the whole trip. One of them. That was cool.
Then Star Tours. Then we headed over to Epcot and did our fast passes over there, which was actually an interesting experience. The test track. We had one for test track. We got in on that loophole with tier one fast passes that day.
Okay.
So I had a Soarin and a test track both. Well, test track, because there was rain moving in, actually got shut down for a while. So we went and did some other stuff and came back a little bit later. Well, on our way back over, I got an email that said test track had been closed and they switched our fast pass to a choice of fast pass.
Okay.
Which I had never seen before. So I asked somebody about it, and they said, basically, you know, you can use it for whatever you want within park hours.
Right.
So we went ahead and did our Soarin' Fast Pass and then went back over and did test track off of that choice one after the storm moved out, which was kind of cool. And then we had a dinner at Via Napoli that night, which I'm still up in the air about.
Still not sure you love Via Napoli, huh?
It was good. I don't know if it was worth it good, though.
Okay. So it was expensive. Did you do the pizza and salad deal, just pizza?
No, we were on the dining plan, so we did each something different. She had a pizza, and then I had it was the closest thing they had to, like, chicken Alfredo, but it wasn't Alfredo sauce, and I don't remember what he called it.
Okay.
But the food was good, but the whole experience was just a little bit off to me for you know, Disney dining experience.
Okay. What did you think of Via Napoli, Carmen?
Scott made me look like the pig. He had me get the pizza. it was okay. I would give it a chance, I think, again. I just don't think it was quite what we had expected. We thought maybe it was going to be a little bit more quiet, maybe is the word I'm looking for. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I would give it another shot sometime. But I thought the pizza was good and the pasta was good. But it was just, I don't think it was quite what we were expecting.
Anything else that was kind of pre-race that you think it's important to share?
We went to bed early Saturday night.
That's the first. We were in bed really early. We hung out by the pool, which that doesn't happen very often either. And yeah, we were in bed early.
Well, no, actually, that leads to an important question, though, because I've wondered about this, because I'm not a runner.
Neither are we. Well, now we are, I guess. But
yeah, but the dads who have met me know that my physique does not lend itself to the road race.
Yes.
So, you know, given that, I can't say firsthand that I have this experience, but when you're going to run one of these races and you've got to get up at a god-awful early hour, and you're at Disney World, how do you get yourself to sleep early?
I'm the one that has trouble sleeping out of the two of us, I think. And surprisingly, I did sleep, but I think it's because we wore ourselves out that day. And it was just a little odd. Part of me, I was just so nervous. I didn't know if I was going to sleep. But I'm looking back on it, I'm glad we kind of maybe overdid it a little bit that day.
Okay.
And kind of knocked me out. So, but yeah, that's how I fell asleep anyway. But I don't know about Scott. I don't even know if he slept.
Yeah, I was out pretty quick.
Okay. So you both wore yourselves out pretty well and got a decent night's sleep. So what time did you wake up that morning?
I think the first, we had like four different alarms set because we didn't want to be late. And I think the first one went off like 2:15, then 2:30, and then 2:45. Wow. And the buses started running at 3:30, so.
Okay.
Don't kid yourself. I think I was up at 2 o'clock, though, like before the alarms. But we, I think we got on the bus at like 3:05 or 3:15 is the first bus that went through. And then, which was odd because this is our first Run Disney race. You know, we did a lot of research ahead of time. And, you know, all the nerves are at you. And so you're up and at them. And our room was right outside the very first bus stop.
Right.
So when we got out there, there was probably, I don't know, eight buses just sitting there. And that was not what we had expected. We were, kind of expecting like a mass amount of people and then trying to all squeeze onto one bus. You know how when Magic Kingdom is open late at night and everybody's trying to get on and then everybody has to wait for the next one. That's what I was expecting. But they had it timed perfectly. I think the first bus left at 3:15. We were waiting for the other girls. So I think we ended up hitting like the third bus. But we didn't have, you know, any problem with transportation at all. We got right over there and they dumped us off in the Epcot parking lot and we walked and walked and walked and
All right. So were you guys starting in the same corral?
Yeah, we lucked out and had the same corral. We were in corral M and the last one was P. So we were just happy we weren't in the very last one.
Okay. And did you have a particular plan going into the race, or was it just, you know what, got to keep my feet moving and eventually we'll cross the finish line?
Well, we do the Jeff Galloway run walk method.
Okay.
And we have been, the training that we did, which wasn't near enough, but the training that we did was 1 minute and 1 minute. And we had kind of briefly talked about our method to our madness when, you know, preceding the trip. And then when we were walking up to the starting line, I looked over to her and said, so what's the game plan? Are we going to run the first, you know, couple of miles and then start run walk? Are we going to run walk from the get go? What, you know, what are we going to do? And I don't think she answered me. I think we just kind of started run walking, from the get go.
At this point I was freaking out. So I was like, I don't know. I was, like, in the zone.
Well, now, talk about that for a second, because it is a little intimidating. I mean, you've never done this before. You're going to run 13 miles. Had you run 13 miles in any of your training runs?
No.
Okay.
I think the furthest we did was, like, 6.
Okay. So you'd never done 13 miles before?
No. Yeah. To say that I thought I could throw up was an understatement. Like, it was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking to see all the people, and then you have people in your corral, and there's one lady talking to me, and she said she was going to try to finish it in 2 hours and 15 minutes, and here I was just hoping I was going to finish the cross, or, you know, across the finish line.
Right.
And then they start interviewing people, like, so we're way in the back, and they start interviewing people up in the front, and they've got the fairy godmother that comes out, and all that good stuff, And all of a sudden, they say something about the elite runners. And here, there's an Olympian that's there.
In your corral?
And I was like, no, not in our corral. Oh, okay, No. Way at the, in, like, corral. Well, they have their own corral.
The elite corral. Runners.
So here I am going, oh, dear, I haven't even run 6 miles, and now I have an Olympian that's here. Like, this is so intimidating. But, no, it was cool. I guess we didn't have we had to sit there for a while once we got into the corral. But then, like, once the race started, it seemed to go pretty quickly, but I don't think we had a whole lot of time to think about what we were actually going to do, because all of a sudden the corral in front of us was gone and we were right in the front of our corral and they were counting down, and Scott's looking at me going, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know, just run with the pack, I guess, you know?
Right.
And we took off, they counted down 3, 2, 1, and the people in our corral just took off. Sprinting, literally. And Scott's looking at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So we just start going, and he finally looks at me, and I don't even know if we'd gone maybe a half mile. And he goes, Carmen, you have got to slow down. We are never going to make it if you keep running like this. So I just said, I think it's the adrenaline. Let's just keep going. And he's like, no, we have to start walk, run now. So we probably started run, walk probably within, before the first mile. So,
okay, but okay.
The adrenaline keeps you going for sure for quite some time. So,
so Scott, did you feel like you were kind of, you know, getting away from your plan and getting away from, you know, what you were going to need to do to finish right away? Is that what was going on there? No.
No, I just knew that our pace to run any distance when we were training was in that like 12 and a half range, and we were running like I was pacing through my Runkeeper app on my phone, and our pace starting out was like a 10 and a half or 11 minute mile.
Okay.
You know, we were booking for like the first probably good 300 or 400 yards. And finally, I'm like, yeah, hey, we have got to slow our pace down. We're not going to be able to get very far. We've got to slow down. So we ended up slowing our pace down, and then started the run walk thing somewhere in that first mile. Okay. And then shortly after we crossed that first mile marker, we passed that three-time Olympian around her mile, between a mile 11 and 12. On her way back.
It was ridiculous. She was booking it, and here I was just thinking, oh, I think I can make it to the next mile marker.
All right. So you settle in to your pace, and what's going through your head as you pass, like, you know, mile marker two? You know, that you've gotten into the race a pretty good amount. You're into your rhythm. Are you able to sustain it? What's going through your head?
Yeah, it's all adrenaline. You know, them first couple miles, like Carmen said, adrenaline really carries you. We were stopping to take pictures at mile markers to post on Facebook and let everybody track us at home. And I think by the time we hit the 5K, we were like, holy crap, we've already done a 5K. So that the adrenaline really, you know, we weren't really thinking about it. We were checking out some costumes here and there. And, you know, I was watched the first guy run to the woods to take a leak. And then about another 200 yards later, I was running to the woods. And, you know, it's just a lot of not thinking, just kind of taking everything in. You know, it's like your first opening ceremony at Magic Kingdom.
Okay. Okay. And how far do you get before you hit the wall? Because this is, I assume at some point you kind of hit a wall and had to work through it, because you're running almost twice what your normal training run was.
Yeah. Well, I honestly was on a high the whole time. Like, I'm pretty sure I smiled through the whole thing, as much as that sounds crazy. I felt really good. However, after Magic Kingdom, so everybody talks about adrenaline gets you all the way through the castle and gets you through Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And it was after that that people, that's when I started to see people starting to struggle. So you could see where the adrenaline had worn off. And so at that point, I was like, okay, here it comes. And so I knew it was coming, and then I was never felt bad. So I just kept going. And then we got to one of the medical tents, and then I was like, well, shoot, maybe I should put some Biofreeze on, because everyone else is. And so I put Biofreeze on my shins, and Scott started to struggle. I don't remember what mile that was. What mile was that?
I've got notorious knee issues, and it started bothering me right around mile 5, but I was running through it. And then about mile 7 to 7.5, I was getting to the point where I couldn't run anymore.
Okay.
So we started walking, and I hit a medical tent right around mile 8 somewhere, and biofreeze my knee up pretty good. And we actually ended up walking the whole rest of the way until we got close enough to the finish line to run across it. But I think the brick wall thing, I don't think either one of us like mentally hit a brick wall. Right. Like we were having so much fun. And even as I was in a lot of pain, I've got a doctor's appointment next week to get my knee checked out. But we were having so much fun and just taking everything in. I don't think mentally either one of us hit a brick wall. You know, that mile 10 is where the big ramp is going back into the Epcot Highway.
Right.
And you can really tell that's a point where people struggle. And, you know, when we got to that point, we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, this is mile 10. You know, this is the tough mile. And I think mile 10 to 11 was the hardest mile mentally for me anyways. Just to get through after the ramp and then seeing, you know, going under the Epcot sign and everything else. But
it was neat at mile 10 or up on the on-ramp. They had one of the toy or the soldiers from Toy Story up there, and he was, you know, had a microphone on, so you could hear him the whole way going up that huge ramp. Uh-huh. So that was kind of a cool little perk, I guess, because if we weren't being able to coach each other, it was him trying to get us up there saying, you know, we're almost there, you're almost there, you're almost there. That was just kind of a cool thing that I knew he was going to be there, but I didn't realize he was going to be kind of coaching us the whole way up. So that was kind
of
cool.
It's one of those things that only Disney could do, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Take the toughest part of the course and stick the Green Army Man up there,
yeah,
you know, giving you cadence and getting you moving.
Yeah, and to see people who are taking pictures with him, you know, they were doing push-ups. you know, that was cool. It was awesome. And, you know, the whole race was Disney, you know, style. Everything, there was entertainment the whole way. We didn't have... I just don't think we had a chance between the two of us, you know, personally, I don't think we had a chance to really think, oh my gosh, this sucks, or we can't do it, okay, or any of that. I just don't think there was just so much going on that we just had entertainment the whole time. So that was a huge help.
So all the characters around the race and all of the music and all that stuff, what was maybe the one or two favorite things that you know, kind of kept you going? You mentioned the Green Army Men. What are a couple others that, you know, were especially fun to run into along the way?
Running through the castle. That's kind of a once in a lifetime thing. That was a big one for me. And then, you know, our lack of training or our farthest distance run. I told Carmen before we started, I said every step after, you know, 6 miles or 6.5 or whatever it was, was our top run. Every step after that is a new record. Just keep setting records. And then coming back into Epcot at the end was kind of funny because we came in through the bus stops and kind of a back way. And I told her right as we were running in, I said, you know, my knee is just starting to feel better, like I can run again. And the pain just seems to be going away. And this was shortly after mile 12.
Okay.
And a lady next to us goes, you want to pass some of that my way? You can help my shoulder out too. You know, it's just that feeling of getting into Epcot, knowing that that's kind of the last stretch. And then, you know, the crowds and the signs and stuff started coming up on the edges of the course, which really helped too. Everybody cheering and that kind of thing.
How about you, Carmen? A couple of highlights?
Everything. I know that sounds really cliche, but I really liked seeing all the people on the sides of the roads just hooping and hollering, and they were just having just as good a time as what we were. I would hope everybody was having a good time that was running, but yeah. And then I don't think I've ever been so happy to see an Epcot sign in my life. Like, honestly, that, like, we came up over that on ramp and we came up over that bridge, and then it's like, bam, there was the Epcot, you know, the entrance. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're here already. Like, holy crap. And not even realizing that it's taken us 3 hours to get there, you know, but kind of all of a sudden just, we can really do this. And at that point, you know, even after mile 10 is when I think I said, good grief, we don't have that much left. Like, this is really happening right now. Like,
yeah.
So it was awesome.
Okay. All right. So I guess I have to ask one last question about all the, you know, the running stuff. Looking back, is there anything that you, well, maybe both ends, anything that you did to prepare that you're especially glad you did? And on the flip side, anything that you feel like you probably should have done, and if you had to do it over again, maybe you would, to prepare yourself for that half marathon?
Oh, dear, he's going to make me go first. I'm really happy, and I all the runners out there would probably understand this, that we did the research on that KT tape, which was, they had it at the expo that you could buy and apply it, and it helps. I swear by it. So I'm really happy I did that. I look like a dork because one, my whole right leg was all pink tape and the other one was pasty white from Iowa winters. But I'm glad I did that. One thing that I think, and it doesn't really have anything to do about the race, I guess. I felt a little unprepared for the expo. I don't think I quite knew what to expect when it came to the expo, I guess. So that has nothing to do with actual training, but I think I would, you know, look into that a little bit more ahead of time, so I didn't feel as overwhelmed, I guess, once I got there, I guess. So that's what I would do.
All right.
How about you, Scott?
Something that I learned from it, and this has been a long time coming from a bad history, is my knee issues. Like I said, I got a doctor's appointment next week. That's probably the only thing that I really learned from it.
Okay.
It's something that, you know, we're both planning on doing in more Run Disney events. We've already started looking down the road at them, and you know, for the next one, just, you know, like Carmen said, the research and knowing the track, knowing the how they do stuff for each weekend a little bit differently and that kind of thing, I guess.
All right. So you finish running and you've got one more day. First of all, you've got stuff to do that night, right? Or did you just crash out once you were done running?
No, we still had park tickets for that day.
Okay, that's what I figured. So you still have park tickets. So what do you do after running 13 miles?
Well, we went back to the resort to get cleaned up right away, and you know, Epsom salt baths, iced. I meandered over to the pool to jump in the hot tub, which was kind of disappointing because it was like pool warm, not hot tub warm.
Kind of a lukewarm tub.
Yeah, it was bad. So I hung out there for about until they opened the. Opened the bar up, and then I walked over and got a Yuengling at the pool bar. and I mentioned to him that their hot tub was broke, and then I gimped back to the room with my Yuengling and took an Epsom salt bath myself, and then I think we crashed for like 2 hours. So after our nice little two-hour nap and getting cleaned up, we went back to Magic Kingdom and had fast pass at Magic Kingdom that night or that afternoon, and had California Grill reservations that night that we were really looking forward to for the rooftop viewing of Wishes.
Okay. So what did you think of the new California Grill?
I liked it. I think it was a little more high-end than what I was expecting. I mean, I know it's signature dining, but it seems a little more signature than some of the other high-end Disney restaurants that we've been to.
Sounded like Carmen was laughing at you a bit there, Scott.
Yeah, a little bit. we're not used to signature dining. I liked it. I mean, I had the seafood stew or whatever it was called. I can't think of it off the top of my head. And it was good. I had a girlfriend of mine had recommended it and said it was awesome. And so I'm not picky. So I had that and I tried a martini and I found out I don't exactly like martinis, but maybe I'm not that high end, I guess. But, I don't know. It was good to see, to be up there and to see Wishes up there. That was awesome. We have seen them from the beach at the Poly, you know, and just to see it at different angles, that's pretty awesome. It was cool. I'm glad we did it. And I knew once we got that reservation, there was no way we were going to be getting rid of it because if we wanted to get up there to see it. So I didn't even really care about the food. I just wanted to see Wishes from the top of the Contemporary.
Now, did you watch tableside or did you go out to the observation deck?
We went outside and watched. I think we sat during the castle show. We sat in like the lounge area right there, you know, right by the glass or whatever, and watched it. And then we finally got smart, and I was like, there's got to be an observation deck outside. Like, I thought everybody said there was a place to watch outside. And so we finally asked the waiter. He's like, oh, yeah, if you just go out those doors, kind of like open your eyes. But we went out there and watched it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it is a nice view from there.
Yep.
All right, so the next morning, do you have any more park days, or is this hit the road time?
No, actually, we don't have any more park days, but there was extra magic hours till 1 a.m., so we went back to Magic Kingdom after California Grill.
Of course.
Which quite possibly was a mistake after a 13-mile race. But
you know, everybody had told us – well, not everybody. We had heard – recommended that, you know, after the race, go back and take it easy for a little bit and then just go walk the parks. Just walk and keep walking.
Uh-huh.
And I think we both felt pretty darn good for the afternoon. And yeah, we took it slow, but I think we felt good until we went to California Grill and then we sat, you know, and enjoyed a drink. You know, we had a reservation for like 9 o'clock and I think we got there at probably 7:30. Well, then we sat for an hour. And right. Then we got to stand up, and I was like, oh, dear, our legs are tired. And then when we got, you know, we watched Wishes, we went and sat down to eat, and then we sat there for 2 hours. I mean, it took a while.
Right.
Not that it was a bad thing, but, you know.
But it's a leisurely meal that you're sitting
through. Yeah, and we sat up there, and I think I at the end, went to get up to go to the restroom, and I was like, oh, dear, I think this is not going to be a good idea to go back to Magic Kingdom. But we wanted – I know I'm just a big old – girl, you know, who princess who just earned herself a medal, you know.
Right.
And so I had to go back and get a picture with Cinderella, and I just really wanted to go back to get pictures, and that was about it. But our pictures, we look exhausted, but it was well worth it.
Hey, that was earned exhaustion.
You bet.
All right, so the next morning, I assume this is when you're hitting the road.
Yep. We got up pretty leisurely. I think we checked out about 9:30, and we were in no rush to get home. I've got some customers at work that are just north of Atlanta that we were going to stop and visit and overnight with Monday night. So we needed to get to his place, which was about 6-7 hours. So we weren't in any rush to get up and get going. I think we checked out and pulled out, used up the last of our snack credits and stuff, and left about 9:30 Monday morning.
I have to ask this. I hear from a lot of my runner friends that it's that morning after the run, the day after, that they have an absolutely ravenous appetite. It's like food just keeps going.
You know, I don't think I noticed that right away. I, thinking back, I did snack a lot on the drive to Georgia. I think I cleaned out 100% of our cheese sticks. I finished off my box of Girl Scout cookies, and there was another box of snacks that I think I cleaned out on the way to Georgia. But it right away in the morning. But I'm not a big breakfast eater to begin with, so.
So, Carmen, he starved you? Yeah, all the food?
Well, yeah, jerk. No.
No, she slept
the
whole way there,
you know,
so don't let her lie to
you. Yeah, the weekend kind of caught up with me, and I had told him this is your bright idea to drive, so when we're driving back to Georgia, I'm sleeping. And I honestly, I kind of had a tummy ache, and I think – I don't know what it was from, but we stopped at Arby's, Arby's is like a huge deal to us. I don't know why.
Okay.
But yeah, and I didn't even eat my sandwich. I like ate half of it. I was like, I don't want this. But that night, though, when we got to Georgia, we went to a place to eat, and I had like a 12-ounce steak. Like, it was huge, and all the fixings. And I think by then, that's when I was hungry.
Okay.
But,
so then it hit.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess now, looking back at the whole trip, if there were one or two bits of advice you would give to you know, other couples in particular who might be considering taking this kind of a challenge on, what would you tell them?
As far as the race weekend challenge of it, I would say do it together. You know, if Carmen and I paced differently and we were stuck in two different corrals, or, you know, we notoriously at home because the kids, we can't run together at right. home. So it, I think it kind of made it all the better to be able to run together through it. But that was just a cool deal that I would say to anybody, any runners, if you're running as a couple with your spouse, do it together, because we fed off of each other. We had fun with each other, and it was just a cool experience.
How about you, Carmen? Any advice you'd give to other couples who were maybe considering taking on this kind of challenge?
Yeah. there's all sorts of stuff. I think the funniest thing, if you are going to be the husband or the significant other of your wife or girlfriend or whatever, be fun and wear pink and wear a tutu. And it was really cool to see the guys getting into it at the Princess Half. Just, you know, there's not that many guys, and it was just, it's just fun to be a goofball. Right. So I don't know, like, I don't know any training advice. I guess I'm such, I consider myself such a new runner that I feed off of everyone else, but you know, do your research ahead of time. The expo was a little bit overwhelming for considering I thought I was prepared, but I wasn't.
Okay.
So, you know, but look at the course, know where your water stations are going to be, know where you're going to have food on the course, you know, because it hit me right before the food station or the fuel station that all of a sudden, boom, I was hungry. And I literally ate within like not even a half mile away from the food station and then had to get more food once I got there. So,
okay.
You know, just be prepared, you know, do as much research as you can ahead of time.
All right. Well, it sounds great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience with us. And hopefully once you figure out what that next race is going to be and you get a chance to run that one, you'll come back and talk to us about it again.
Sounds good. Thanks for letting me come in this big Disc Dad's Club.
It's been fun.
It has been. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.
Scott conned himself into going, by the way. He, definitely. Like more of a, well, what if something happens and you're down there by yourself and things like that. But anyway.
Hey, I forgot around mile 7.5 or 8. And I don't know if he's added or if he's joined or anything. I ran in my Disc Dad's Dry Fit. There's a guy that ran up behind me, tapped me on the shoulder and was like, Hey, I'm going to look that up when I get home. So you may have somebody trying to find us or joining that was in the Princess Half with us.